When the melody's been written and the words have all been picked and you hear the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn in the valley of decision. Tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices. Eternity has two.
This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation should be going out today.
You're standing at the crossroads and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. The straight and narrow way leads to life, and the broad way down below. What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain. Our days on earth are few. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. This life has many choices. Eternity has two.
Hallelujah. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. There's neither Hutterite or Mennonite. You're either saved or you're lost. And that cost me my home when I once gave that little speech. But it was worth it. Hallelujah. We could clap all day on that one. For those of you who are watching the news, this pedophile, this billionaire pedophile that they arrested here about a month ago was starting to give out names. And yesterday he conveniently, for a lot of those guys, committed suicide. And I have a feeling that his suicide was involuntary. We'll see what'll happen. So the gates of justice are starting to open, or should we say the wheel of justice are starting to turn. We'll see if it'll come to this border, across the border. Because if you understand politicians, many politicians get a lot of kickbacks and they get into a lot of stuff that they shouldn't be getting into. And God is starting to reveal these things. It's interesting how a politician starts his term and he gets about $150,000 a year, and within 5 years or 4 years, he's a multimillionaire. Where does it come from? What is he doing? It's corruption. And God is going to close that down one of these days. And we'll hope it'll be soon. Anyways, I want to close out my messages on, are you really saved? I like the title that Tom gave my message on YouTube. Is it revelation or is it information? That where you base your salvation on. That's an interesting one. I like that sentence. Is it revelation or is it information? Information is you get it from somewhere, somebody, and you kind of believe it, but it hasn't become a revelation for yourself, and that's why you don't feel or don't think or have problems of knowing that you really belong to God. I went on YouTube, and if you go on YouTube, there's a lot of people who have channels out there professing to be experts on scripture. And I listened to these two people, a man and his wife. And the question was, do you believe in eternal security? And the guy said, God doesn't keep no prisoner. And right away I understood the guy doesn't believe in eternal security. God doesn't keep no prisoner. But if you belong to God, you're his purchased possession. And here it is. Is an ant a prisoner by staying an ant? No, she loves being an ant, right? I'm talking about an ant that crawls, not your Aunt Polly or Sarah. An ant, did I pronounce that right? She is an ant because she loves being an ant. Try making her a bumblebee, she wouldn't last very long. Or a mosquito or a wood tick. But she loves what God made her. It's her DNA. She'll work to the fullest. So when you become a Christian, your DNA changes. God has given you a new name. The Bible teaches, he that overcomes, I will make a pillar in my house, and I will give him a new name. So the question is your Christianity information or revelation? Has God revealed it to you? Do you know that you belong to God? And today I will be teaching on this. I've been teaching on it for the last while, but we'll cap it off with some interesting scriptures here that we are not only born again, but we have become part of God. His DNA is in us, and we have received his mind and his intelligence to the point where one of these days we will be ruling and reigning with him, and that's going to be an interesting time. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I ask you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to the understanding of what you're trying to tell us, of what the blood did at the cross for us. I thank you, O God, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Before I do get into this message, I want to read you a scripture. Because we always have people who will say, how about that guy? How about that guy? He lives for the devil. We got people out there who are active homosexuals, and they have churches where they preach the gospel, but they claim God has made them that way. They were born that way. There's something they're forgetting. They need to become born again. Even my little grandchild has enough sense to want to be born again. He told his mother that, I want to be born again. I wish I wasn't born so I could be born again. He wants to go to heaven. But those people are born that way. I got news for them. They need to do what I did. They need to become born again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding dark, and being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all cleanness with greediness. So he's explaining to us, you shouldn't operate or live like these peoples whose hearts are blinded. They don't see, they don't care. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. And then comes the crowning of this scripture. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, who told you that you belong to God? Who explained to you that you're now a Christian? The Bible teaches us here, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard who? Dave Wallner? No. You have heard him. Who is the him? It's Christ. It's the Savior. And have been taught by him as the truth is in him. So the revelation has to come from Christ himself. The information that you get from me is to get you into the scripture, is to get you thinking, is to make you want this God. So we need to understand that. And if you're living for the devil, you call yourself a Christian, the Bible will question your Christianity. Not me. It's not my place to question your Christianity. My place is to tell you how to become a Christian. It's God that questions your Christianity. And that's the sad part. Many will say in those days, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? But the Lord will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Yes, you may proclaim you know God, but does God know you? There's quite a few people watching over the internet, and they need to understand. It has to be a revelation because before you can rest in assurance. Because if you're not rested in assurance, all you have is information. It hasn't become personal with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us unto himself by Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of what? Of reconciliation. Listen to this. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. Do you believe that from your heart? Do you know? Does it ring a bell? We'll use modern English. Does it ring a bell that you belong to Christ? Do you identify with what Scripture is talking about? And then, what does it do to you? Do you want to tell others? I remember when I became a Christian, there's one thing I had in mind. That's telling everyone that Jesus is the Savior. It says, he has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. We were reconciled to Christ at the cross of Calvary. Before the cross, we had to do burnt offerings and peace offerings and all sorts of offerings. Millions and millions of animals were slaughtered throughout the ages to cover the sin debt. But then Christ came and took the sin debt away. He told Adam and Eve, I'm one of these days going to send somebody who's going to make this all right. And he did. And who was he? It's not what I'm doing for Jesus. It's what Jesus is doing for me that I'm so excited about. You'd start listening to people who call themselves Christians, and they'll start talking about their deeds, what they're trying to do, how they're keeping themselves. That's not the point. Regardless how you keep yourself, you'll fail anyway. Regardless what you do for Christ, you'll be selfish in it in many cases. I want to ask you this question. What did Christ do for you? Hallelujah. I know what he did for me, and I'm proud to boast about that one. I want this ministry of reconciliation because that's the only hope the human race has. There is nothing left for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, first it's the King James. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I like this interpretation a little. It's a little more clear. For who has known the mind and the purpose of the Lord as so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and his purposes. The only way a person can be guided by God if you think like he does. Have you ever tried to explain somebody something and is not on the same page with you? The guy may say, yes, 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 and walk away without knowing in any way or form what you were talking about. It happens to me a lot. I'll say, yes, yes, and pretend I followed a guy. It happened in my earlier years. Now I'm not that proud anymore. I just say I don't understand. You say, yes, yes, and you know, especially when somebody tries to teach you on computer stuff how to do this. Yes, yes, I see, and when they leave, I don't know nothing. But if you have the mind of Christ, he'll teach you, it'll register. And this is what this scripture is saying. If it doesn't register, then you got a problem. You may not have the mind of Christ. So it says for him, for who has known the mind and the purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and his purposes. There was a time in my life when I would question why God would create the eternal lake of fire. Why would people be in the lake of fire for eternity, burning? And you know, when you study the human race, and I've seen it on TV, they don't want God. And if God wouldn't contain them in this place of torment, did get become worse and worse as eternity stretches on. God had to have a confinement for them so that the universe wouldn't be destroyed by them. This is why the devil and his angels are going to be confined for the rest of eternity. It's because sin never stops growing. It has to be confined, and God will confine it by an eternal flame that'll be where the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. So this is why the eternal lake of fire was created. It's for the eternal being that has no repented heart. That's incredible when you start thinking about it. And still we have preachers on TV. There is no hell. God, a loving God, would never allow people to be put into such a terrible place. I got news for them. The Bible teaches us that's exactly what's going to happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, listen to this. What? There's a few questions before that talks about certain stuff. And he says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, here I got the question for you. Are you God's prisoner or are you God's purchased possession? I love this scripture. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? That's the down payment that God gave us when we became born again, or the pledge. You go through different translations of the Bible. It's a pledge. It's a down payment. And the King James Version calls it an earnest, that's a real old word. It says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore once you sell yourself to Christ. You are bought with a price. What's the price? The price that God paid for you was blood and tears and sweating there in the Garden of Eden, because the burden was really heavy. That's what God paid for us. And we better not thumb our noses at that, or else the eternal lake of fire will be there for us. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belongs to God. Are you a purchased possession? Are you God's prisoner? I'm not a prisoner. I enjoy being a possession of God. I know exactly how long it'll last. It's going to last for eternity, for in the ages to come, he will show us the mystery of his grace. God is a good God. He loves us. I had the privilege of talking to a young person yesterday who was very discouraged, because he said, told me, as soon as I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, it went downhill from there. I said, hallelujah. Now I know you really meant it, because now God is starting to shape you and chisel you and sharpen you and making you ready for any glorious time that you're going to have. It's not by accident that it's going downhill. That's what happens when a person becomes born again. It does, in no time at all, God starts the sanding business, the chiseling business, trying and working at it until he's going to be finished. See, that's what happens to you when you become born again. You can become his purchased possession, but it doesn't stop there. That's when he starts remaking you. You then fight from victory and not for victory. Hallelujah. The work will be done and it will be finished. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter, in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6, I am confident he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. Isn't that awesome? God makes sure that we're confident. So therefore, glorify your God in the body and in the spirit, which belongs to God. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 12. Then we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed. Anybody knows what sealed means? Those who do canning, they seal their jars and they keep like that. You can keep it for hundreds of years, and it'll still be fresh in the can if it doesn't get any air. But with Jesus, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. But other translations will say this is the pledge of our inheritance, or the down payment of our inheritance. God already has given us a part of the Holy Spirit until the redemption of what? Of the purchased possession. until God will redeem us out of here, take us out of here. Who will he take out? His purchased possession. Who is his purchased possession? Those that call upon his name to be saved unto the praise of his glory. Isn't that good news? That is the gospel. This is what the gospel is. It's not all those religious do's and don'ts that people preach across the pulpits. It's the purchasing of the purchased possession. God purchased us, and we belong to him. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. One guy asked me, is it possible to ever leave God? And I would simply say, I'm connected to God. I am his brother. We are brothers together. I'm part of him. So how can I make a choice against myself? I can't. Hallelujah. I and God have become one. This is the amazing truth of the gospel. And if Christians would understand that, the mental institutions, many of them would empty out, because many of those people are Christians trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to better themselves, trying to improve on what Jesus did. I got a news for you. It's useless to try. The perfection that God made us is going to keep. Like my son-in-law told a person not too long ago, I'm only as clean and holy as the blood of Jesus will make me. Hallelujah. That's an awesome and interesting revelation. In John chapter 17 in verse 9, here's the prayer of Christ. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And I was thinking to myself, why doesn't God pray for the world? Because Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us. It's up to us to pray for the world. He has given us this job of reconciliation. And that means prayer and preaching of the cross. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Who are those people? That's us. We believed because we read, we saw, and then we took it for ourselves. This is now, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou art, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. This is an incredible revelation, becoming one with Christ and with God. It almost looks like blasphemy when you say it just out of tune or out of character. But when you see it from the Bible's point of view, you start to understand that you belong to Christ, not only because you have accepted him, but also because now you have been made one with him. It says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Isn't that great? It's not too good to be true. It's almost too good to be true, but this is what the Bible teaches. The question is, are we going to believe it? Are we going to take it for ourselves? I've settled this with God years ago, and the peace that has been in my heart throughout my Christianity and the consistency is proof that God is there keeping me. I know for a fact that this life will bring problems It'll bring tears. It'll bring sorrows. It'll bring joy also. But I know in my heart that one of these days it'll happen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed. It'll happen so fast, you will not know what hit you. You will be changed into a new and glorious body that's not going to fight you anymore. That's not going to drag you down anymore. That's not going to try and destroy you anymore. It's going to become like your spirit. Body, soul, and spirit will be rejoiously reunited with Christ. And thus, throughout eternity, we will rejoice. This is the promise of God. It's not a fairy tale. He has given it to us, and it's there for keeps. Hallelujah. Do you belong to God? I got a question for you. Is it a revelation, or is it just information? If it's not a revelation with you, then you need to get the whole of the hem of the garment of God. And not let go till you know that you belong to him. This is how I see it. This is what I did. And let me tell you, especially as you grow older, it definitely pays dividends. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempest you see, unknown ways before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal, shot and compass come from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot. Thou canst touch the ocean wild, boisterous waves obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still, wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Jesus, Savior.